Well, a warm welcome to you who just tuned in. I am your host, Chris Meyer, and you're listening at a program called At Ease. It is made possible for us by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. This is the 57th program from the South African Military Christian Fellowship. You are about to endeavor in our program as it has been lined up for us today. First of all, we're going to listen to the chaplain, Ben Smith, as he's going to read to us Matthew 11, verse 7 to 8. And the theme of his message is, what do you see? Then we're going to listen to our First Navy band called Great is Thy Faithfulness. Up next, then, will be the Military Challenge newspaper, where Graham Wilson is going to narrate it for us, a testimony from Lieutenant Colonel John Tillery. Then the Captain Peter Lawrence will share with us personal evangelism. And after that, we will also listen to him once again about the South African Military Christian Fellowship news. Then we're going to play out with our last Navy band a song called As the Deer Pantom for the Water. I trust that you will be at ease and that you will really be blessed and ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Let us listen now to our devotion by Chaplain Ben Smith.
Good morning, everybody. As we read Matthew 11, verses 7 to 8, the question is, what do you see? You might be seeing a reed swayed by the wind. Sometimes trivial things have the ability to obscure more important matters. Or have you come to see a man in fine clothes? Equally, the glitz and glamour of this world have even a greater potential to hide important matters. John himself was an important messenger with even a more important message, and both were missed by the crowd, and none except John recognized Jesus and the subject and content of his message. So what do you see when you listen and read this section of scripture? A reed swayed, or the subject matter, Christ? It is John who said, "There is the Lamb who take away the sins of the world, my sins, your sins, for the sake of relationship." Let us pray. Thank you that we can look today, Father God, with a view to see. You take pleasure in making yourself known, and all for the sake of relationships. Bless us today as we are having encounters with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith, for that devotion. What do you see? It's a question to be answered, because sometimes you think you saw something, and sometimes looks can be very, very deceiving. I think of one state of the in the Bible where Paul say, you know, what do you read? Or even Jesus, what did you read? You know? Because sometimes we can read things into the Word of God, or sometimes we thought we saw this in the Bible, or it stands in the Bible. What did you see? When you read and you read and ask the Lord, you know, to guide you and open the eyes of our hearts, of our understanding, so that what I read, what I see here, you know, what the Bible exactly say, what it say, and, you know, does it say what it means and means what it say. What do you see? Because there's the human error that what did I saw just now? I can remember when I was on the border, you know, when I think, as they say, the most dangerous hour is just before dawn. That first light or the last light when you are in your bunkers and very deceiving, because it is a crucial time, very, very crucial. And then you could nearly put your head on a block. I saw movement. You know, when the horizon, it has been broken. I saw some movement, and especially if you are tired, you know, then you can see double vision, and what do you see? And then you are not so sure anymore what you saw. Yes, and when I come to Scripture, the same. With what kind of eyes do you look at when you look at Scripture, when you read that portion? Yeah, because we must be very, very careful how we read it. And do I read into it? Does the, you know, how can I call it? Maybe I let the Bible say what it never say. That is where you get heretics from, because the Bible never say that. And I make it, let it say. Or I took a piece of Scripture, of a line maybe, out of its context. And once you do that, because that little verse also stand in context with the rest of the chapter, and the chapter with the rest of the book, you know, then you get a pretext. I think it was Trevor Dahl that said, you know, when you do that, you get a pretext. It's just your little fairy tale to try to justify, you know, whatever you believe. You want to justify your fairy tale. Because you take it out of context, because you thought you saw that. Very, very dangerous. Thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith. We really appreciate what you share with us now at this time of our day. Folks, we're going to listen to our first South African Navy band, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And maybe you also read it in, especially in the Psalms, where David many times gave praise to God of his faithfulness. If you think of 1 Corinthians 15:58, where Paul talks about that God is faithful to see your labor in Christ. See what you're doing. See what you go through. And God is faithful to reward you. So let us listen to this Great is Thy Faithfulness. Isn't that wonderful? Great is Thy faithfulness. And I think that we all can agree to that, that God's faithfulness is always true to His word. If I can come back to the faithfulness of God and what the reverend was saw, you know, when God said that, when He read it and say, and through that words, when Jesus say, what do you see? What did you come for? Did you expect something, you know, extravagant, something so high and mighty? You never expect to see a reed is blowing in the wind. What did you see? What did you expect? Because something about the faithfulness of God, sometimes we have our own idea how God is going to do this or do that or fulfill what he's going to say. We have a testimony of Graham Wilson from the Military Challenge newspaper. And this testimony is from Lieutenant Colonel John Tillery. And I want you to listen to what he say about this Lieutenant Colonel.
As the proud owner of 3 master's degrees and a doctorate, among others, Lieutenant Colonel John Tillery dedicated his life to service as a chaplain in the United States Air Force. While it may seem to be a rule that only the elite and privileged can attain a doctorate, Chaplain Tillery is the exception to that rule. People would think that with my educational background that I had been groomed for academia, he said. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Growing up in a violent and chaotic home, education was not prioritized. Throughout John's childhood, his young mother struggled to raise him and his brothers, often with the help of violent men. "I've been tied up, I've been beaten, I've been burned with cigarettes," John called with pain and difficulty. One of my mom's boyfriends was particularly violent. He would use a cattle prod just to watch us jerk around. Similar to a stun gun, a cattle prod is meant to usher animals with jolts of electricity, but the man used the prod to shock the feet of John and his brothers while they slept. "To this day, I can't sleep with my feet uncovered." The violence in the house was so overwhelming that at times John would seek out even the darkest places in order to escape the brutality. This was the little place I would go, built into the wall. There was a little door. "It was our dirty clothes hamper," John said. "You know, that man never looked there, not once. It was a perfect little hiding place for me. When I hid there, he never found me, ever. It was a place that was safe." Because of the chaos in his home life, John moved to 2 or 3 different schools every year and never learned how to read until 3rd grade. During that time, he was placed into the lowest reading group in his class because he was still working at a kindergarten level. "I'd never heard, good job. I'd never heard, good boy. I'd never heard, you can do it. Try harder, I'm with you. Those are words I never heard," said John. "And so, in addition to those words, the most important thing my 3rd grade teacher gave me was a smile." With her support, he moved up to the best reading group and became one of the strongest readers in the class during the 4 months he was at that school. The violence and upheaval continued throughout his childhood and into his teens, but thanks to his 3rd grade teacher, he now had a place to retreat during difficult times when he couldn't escape to his hiding place in the wall: books. "One of the fixed features of our home was fear," John explained. "With reading, I could go to a safe place in my own mind. For me, reading, it was not just a pastime. It was not merely an escape either. It puts me in a place where it's all is right with the world, no matter what is going on around me." Because of his upbringing, John was fearful that he would grow into a cruel man like the ones he'd known all his life. "But I remember very clearly deciding when I was 11 years old that I would not be a violent man." When John was 15, his resolution was put to the ultimate test. "My stepfather got a branch, not a switch, a branch, and he beat my younger brother and me. We were literally bloodied on the floor." After that, John and his brothers left home. His older brother joined the army, and John went to live with his girlfriend's family. They had a child and married. Shortly after his daughter was born, John's wife left him, and he was left homeless and impoverished at the age of 17. "During the draft in 1972, I joined the army," said John. "I wanted to go to Vietnam because, as far as I was concerned, there was nothing worse than what I was already going through." Even though he had never attended high school or even earned his GED diploma, John was selected to be a Russian linguist. However, during his first several months in training, he drank heavily and was considered to be unreliable. He was booted out of the program and moved to the artillery career field. While in the unit, John began to turn his life around. He stopped drinking, made friends, and began attending church. "I came to believe in God. I began to gain a larger, greater sense of purpose and hope," and meaning, and most importantly, forgiveness. I was able to forgive others, and ultimately I was able to forgive myself. John had never understood the value of chaplains until he visited one for grief counseling after a shooting death in his unit. "It was then that I realized you don't have to carry a weapon to be a warrior," John said. He once again found solace in reading, this time in the Bible. "I've read the Bible numerous times. I have learned Hebrew, and I have learned Greek," John said. "The Bible gets embedded in your heart in such a way that it controls your life, so that you do the right thing as a way of existing, as a way of being. It's my guide." After his enlistment in the army was over, the boy, who had never stepped foot in a high school, earned an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, 3 master's degree, and doctorate. He has since risen to be the rank of a lieutenant colonel and has spent 17 years serving his country as a chaplain.
What a testimony, and look at that accolades, man alive. That is God's faithfulness. How can I say that? Well, if you listen to his testimony, you know, and how it starts at home and how education was not the main priority, you know, and sometimes, or people call you are a dropout, because sometimes they don't understand and know what is going on at home and what conditions and circumstances just force you to do things that, you know, that a normal person will not do, but because of the circumstances. But God has a plan for each and everyone. When I listen to him again and just realize that it doesn't matter, somewhere, somehow, doesn't matter what you've done, somewhere, somehow, God is going to find you. Because the faithfulness of God for each one of us, each one, he's got a purpose and a plan for us. And yes, many don't make it. Many don't come into that plan and purpose of God. But if I listen to this man, how in the eyes of the world, he will be a dropout. He will be, you will never make it. Wow. Listen to that and see how God used him at the end of it all, with all of his degrees and what God actually through him, or he through God, accomplished. You know, there's a verse that I think also embedded in my heart in Colossians 3, where the Bible say, whatever you do, make it work with all of your heart. Make it work with all of your heart, as unto the Lord. Remember, you serve the Lord and not a human master. You serve the Lord. The faithfulness of God. Where God wants you, if you and I cooperate with him, come in line with that plan and purpose for your life, then imagine what he can do through you. Maybe you won't have all those degrees and diplomas and because you don't have to compare yourself with someone else. If you can be you and let God use you, my friends, God can use awesome things and accomplish all awesome things, wonderful things, miracles with an ordinary person. Maybe you feel so insignificant. Never misjudge the faithfulness of God when you cooperate with him. Well, thank you for that testimony, Graham Wilson. We're going to listen now to our Captain Peter Lawrence, as he's going to share with us once again personal evangelism. Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence.
Good evening, At Ease listeners. These past 9 months or so, we've heard the two questions, these two spiritual questions regarding where you stand before Almighty God and the gift of eternal life. The first question being, have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? And the second question, suppose you were to die and appear before Almighty God and he were to ask, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? Two piercing questions that need an answer, and which prayerfully you can now answer, or you were able to answer. But now the question being, don't you want to ask people those questions that you know and want to know? Where do they stand before Almighty God? Diagnostic questions to ascertain where they stand before God and perhaps help them to find salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, so perhaps you're in a foxhole, perhaps you're in a car or an aeroplane, and you have a few moments with someone. You might never see them again, but you felt led to share the good news with them. So how do you do this? Maybe it's also just with a neighbor. It's going to take over a few months. You can ask the two questions. And of course, one's got to earn the right. You can't just go in there guns blazing, so to say. It once happened at a Bible college where this outline was being taught. And they went out for practical training, got into a taxi, and the one student straight away said, suppose you were to die. And of course, the one person in the taxi got such a fright that he jumped out, slid open the door, and got out the first opportunity, worried that he was perhaps going to die. But of course, the question had been asked too quickly, and the right to ask the question had not been obtained. So over the next few months, we'll share how to share the two questions in the gospel. But we'll start tonight then with developing a friendly relationship. So this is critical. You know, also walking the talk. You've got to set a good example. People must see in you the love of Christ. They must see in you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the first point would be a sincere interest in the person's life. Ask him questions like where he went to school, why he joined the military, or the job that he's in. It's taking a sincere interest, not just quickly, but taking some time to get to know him better. And sincere listening, not just what's the next question or what next in developing a friendly relationship, but sincerely listening to his answers. And perhaps he's telling you about his grandmother that died or the financial situation he's in. And these are things that you can help with later. So listen sincerely that he can see that you're taking an interest in him. And sincere caring that there's follow-up and that you really, he heard what he had to say and you want to care and be there for him. And of course, this all goes about the Holy Spirit helping you, that you're dependent on the Holy Spirit helping you through this time. And so you'd be perhaps silently praying, others praying for you, knowing that you love to share the gospel, and you get prayer partners. But the first point then is developing a friendly relationship. And so I'd like to leave that with you, that before you ask the two questions, that you develop this friendly relationship with people. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes that it takes, or it might be over a few months, but you might only have that moment in life, that opportunity that is there and then gone, that you meet this person. And then you've sown seeds in his heart, the two questions, and the Holy Spirit, of course, dependent that he will continue to speak to this person's heart afterwards. So thank you. So take that to heart, developing this friendly relationship, that you can earn the right then to ask the two questions that you'll come to in a few weeks' time. Now, thank you. Every blessing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence. We will take that to heart. I trust our listeners will take that to heart to help them to be a witness for the Lord. And really, may it be also be an encouragement to many, many of our listeners. I want to agree with our Captain Peter with the personal evangelism. Remember, if I can give a theme for this, evening for this program, The Faithfulness of God. If you trust the Lord just for one soul, I think it was John Hyde, if I'm not mistaken, for those who might know him from the old school. They call him also the Praying Hyde. I think it was John Knox, also John Knox. I think it was, they called her many, many years ago, Bloody Mary. And she said that there's only one person that she really feared, and that was John Knox. And why John Knox? Because that man, she said, when he prays, he was not even afraid of the devil, but she feared that man. You know, he said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Give me Scotland or I die. And I think there was only two people in history that pray themselves to death, and it's John Knox and Praying Hyde. But faithfulness of God, where he trusts the Lord for one soul a day. Listen to this, one soul a day. God give him one soul a day that he can share the gospel with. The next year was, Lord, give me two souls a day to share the gospel with. Wow, the faithfulness of God. Maybe you trust the Lord also for something in your life, in your family, in your where you are in and being posted in the military or retired or, you know, whatever your condition or circumstances may be. God is faithful to meet you. I want to make it personal at the point of your need. Really trust Him for that. We're going to listen now to our news. Once again, Captain Peter Lawrence is on the other side of the microphone. And because Riri Riranzo Mangani, she's at Madagascar for that conference there. So thank you, Captain, to standing in for our sister until she's back again. I trust that you have a pen and a piece of paper to jot down these things that you're going to share with us.
Attention! Good evening, listeners. The SAMCF news read by me, Peter, standing in for Riri, who is presently in Madagascar attending the Madagascar Mountaintop Interaction. We continue to pray for peace and an end to the terrible war in Ukraine, as well as for peace in conflicts in other areas of the world. Let us continue to pray that the soldiers fighting on both sides in Ukraine turn to and find comfort and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their safety and the gift of eternal life in heaven. We pray that they will have the peace that passes all understanding through Christ Jesus the Lord, despite the terrors of war. Please pray for the SAMCF as we make changes to our constitution and operating principles in line with the Word of God and His Holy Spirit-given guidance. Here then follows the Association of Military Christian Fellowship's prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations, and grant that we who know the joy of being all one in Christ Jesus may be filled with your love and pass it on to others through the power of the Holy Spirit until his coming again. Amen. Please pray for the SANDF and other Southern African troops presently deployed in northern Mozambique to conduct peacekeeping operations. Pray also for the naval and air support as well as the medical staff, all serving in the different areas of operation. The Regional Association of Military Christian Fellowships Interaction, called the Madagascar Mountaintop Interaction, MMTR, is presently taking place in Madagascar from 8 to 15 October. We give praise and thanks for our two SAMCF delegates, Zinzi and Riri, attending the interaction and who arrived safely in Madagascar on Friday, the 7th of October. En route, they were hosted by the Kenyan chaplaincy during their overnight stopover in Nairobi. A big thank you to all that helped sponsor their attendance. We please value our listeners' prayers for these news items and especially for Riri and Zinzi during MMTR in Madagascar. We thank God for our SANDF chaplains. Please join us praying for their ministry and service in the SANDF. Please consider how you, the listener, might become more involved supporting the ministry of the SAMCF in the SANDF. This might be through prayer, financially, or other means. Let us know and we will further interact and contact you. Your support will be very much appreciated. A good day then to all our listeners, and peace, joy and grace in Christ Jesus the Lord to you all.
Thank you, Captain Peter. Yeah, I just listened to the BBC news on 5 o'clock. That war between Russia and Ukraine is still taking its toll, and it just continues. And you know, it depletes all resources what they have, and they have to find ways again to, you know, to, yeah, to get it back, and how to can have more resources, because the war depletes everything. Just keep them in your prayers. Friends, we come to a close to our program. I just want to salute all our content providers. Our address and details for this program, the GNCR website, is www.gncr.org.za. The At Ease email is atease@gncr.org.za. Then the South African Military Christian Fellowship, their cell number is 062-028-7546. Let me repeat it again, 062-028-7546. The email address for the SAMCF is samcf3@gmail.com. And their website is www.samcf.co.za. So we are signing off, just maybe something in a humoristic way. I saw it the other day, someone sent me a little WhatsApp where a person is explaining email and Gmail, the difference between email and Gmail. I'm not sure if you know the difference. The email stands for you can send mail by electricity. That's why the E is there. And Gmail is you need generator to send the mail. Just on a lighter note. As we're going to sign out, may God bless you. Until the Lord's willing, the same time, the same place, be at ease.